Well, hey, I'm Christine Nagy. I do the morning show here at Light FM.
And I'm Michael Riedel. I do the morning show over on 710 WOR with Len Berman.
But we're together.
We
for
are.
A podcast.
Called In the Wings.
Yes, we've decided on a title.
We have found our name.
Welcome to In the Wings.
Although In the Wings, it makes us sound like we're stagehands, Christine.
Yeah, that's okay.
It would be, because I know how much they get paid.
Oh. I've got some props standing by, right?
Perfect.
Whatever you need, I'm right here.
I'm the curtain raiser, even though there's no curtain in the show.
Got it. All right, so you did a great Tony prediction for us. We did a couple of podcasts where you said who you thought would win, and I said who I hoped would win, and it all came together.
It all came through. The big winner at the Tony Awards on Sunday night was The Band's Visit, a musical that both Christine and I are enormous fans of. It won 10 Tony Awards. The record for the most number of Tony Awards is held by the producers with 12. So The Band's Visit was closing in with 10, and it won some unexpected ones. And I knew watching the Tonys on Sunday night that it was going to be a really good night for The Band's Visit when the writer of The Band's Visit, a guy named Itamar Moses, who, trust me, no one has ever heard of, though he's a lovely guy, he beat someone everybody's heard of, Tina Fey, who wrote the script for Mean Girls.
Uh-huh.
And everybody on Broadway thought, all right, Mean Girls, it's not going to win the big award for best musical, but Tina Fey is so popular, and she really was embraced by the Broadway community. She went to all their parties and met everybody, and you thought for sure they would give the nod to Tina Fey. So when Itamar Moses won, you thought, wow, this is kind of a slap against the brand name franchise shows, the Frozens, the SpongeBob SquarePants, and even Mean Girls, that they would give 10 Tony Awards to this small show that is based on a movie, but a movie that two people have seen.
Right. So it's an indie film, and the show has an indie feel. It's
absolutely
got that. It's very character driven and personal, and you just fall in love with these characters that you just spend one evening with, right? It's just a night out of their lives.
Yeah, and another surprise win was Tony Shalhoub, who was the star of the show, whom you and I both admired greatly for his performance. He beat out an energetic kid from SpongeBob SquarePants. The SpongeBob SquarePants kid, everyone thought he was going to win, but once again, Tony voters went with The Band's Visit.
I'm so glad that they did, because it's a beautiful show, and I think it deserves the accolades. Okay, so we're also going to focus on Best Play, right? That went to Harry Potter and the Cursed Child.
I think
you predicted that as well.
Yeah, that was really, it was the only show of all the ones nominated that was running, and Harry Potter and the Cursed Child, two parts, 7 hours, but very popular with an enormous advance sale of $60 million, and it will be with us for a long, long time to come.
And you'll be standing in line for a while.
You will indeed.
For
with a lot of screaming little children.
Angels in America did really, really well.
It did. I wish my favorite play, Edward Albee's Three Tall Women, had won, but Angels in America is an event, and so that's why Tony Kushner's epic about Reagan years and AIDS and Roy Cohn and all that sort of stuff. That's why it won, I guess deservedly so, but I was pleased to see Glenda Jackson, the brilliant star of Three Tall Women.
Yes.
She won a Tony for
she
her
won.
Performance.
Yeah, she I said it's like going to masterclass for people who are
It's an amazing performance. And the other surprise, again, the Tony voters showing that they're independent and they go for the small shows sometimes, was Best Revival of a Musical, which went to The Charming Show Once on This Island. And it beat the two American classics, A Carousel and My Fair Lady.
Mm-hmm. So, had big campaigns behind them.
Campaigns, lots of money behind them. They're bigger shows. And Once on This Island is a small show at the Circle in the Square Theater. It's got real water, though, and real sand. And if you watch the Tony Award telecast, it's always interesting to me because each musical that's nominated, they do a number from their show.
Mm-hmm.
And for most of the people watching the Tony Awards, that's their introduction to the show because they have not seen everything. So that one number on the telecast is very important to position your show for people who don't know it.
Right.
And you hope you sell a lot of tickets from that. And by far, the best number on the Tony Award telecast was from Once on This Island. And I spoke to the producer of the show, and he said right after that number aired on the telecast, their numbers at the box office went up, and they've been selling a lot of tickets ever since.
So direct cause and effect.
No question about it.
Really?
Yep.
So what shows are going to be difficult to get into now? We talked about Harry Potter, but it has, because it's got such a built-in audience.
Yeah.
I mean, that's not the only reason, but it has been selling out. How about The Band's Visit?
The Band's Visit is doing well at the box office in the wake of the Tony Awards, but, you know, it's never going to be something like Mean Girls or, you know, Springsteen on Broadway. You have to pay the scalpers to get tickets. There's right. always going to be seats available to the band's visit at a reasonable price.
That's good, because I want people to get in there and see it.
Absolutely.
And it doesn't hurt a show like Mean Girls or Frozen not to.
No, no, no. It's not going to cannibalize their audience.
Right.
Not at all. So, Three Tall Women is a hot ticket, and Glenda Jackson is only in it for a little bit while longer. So if you want to see her, and I encourage you to go,
yes.
you should get a ticket sooner rather than later.
Go. You need to go. Laurie Metcalf won for that as well.
Yeah, absolutely.
And as you said, like I thought that was – I didn't see Angels in America, so it's I can't speak to that except from what my friends told me, that it was incredible. But Three Tall Women, that entire production is amazing and beautiful and –
Very well done.
Every detail of it is tremendous.
The disappointing thing for me on the Tonys, I did not think that Bruce Springsteen acquitted himself well. You saw he did about a 4 or 5 minute set for his very popular show, Springsteen on Broadway. And he was sort of just speaking in a dirge-like way. And he was going, and I had family in Freehold, and I'm from New Jersey, and my father was sad. And you're saying, all right, get on with it. Play the song. We want to hear my hometown. And I wrote a book that you should really be buying at BarnesandNoble.com. It's really good. And then he got in, and he said, and my hometown. Cut to commercial. That was the end of it.
Right.
People were really disappointed because, you know, you got to pay a lot of money to see Springsteen on Broadway. And the tickets are almost impossible to come by.
Do you think he's doing that on stage?
Well, it's more effective, I can tell you, in the context of the whole show, because he writes very well and his life is interesting. And he sets up the songs very well, talking about what inspired each song. And then he plays the whole song unadorned with no E Street Band, just Bruce and the piano or the harmonica, the guitar. And it's effective in the theater. But I don't think he did himself any favors with his dirge-like little meditation on the Tony Awards.
I guess it's just, it's a different medium. And
yes.
He is Bruce, so he's got his legions of fans who will forgive him.
Get to the melody, baby. Get to the melody. That's what I have to say to Bruce.
Michael Riedel is like directing him, moving along.
That's right. Who's the boss of the boss? Moi.
How about John Leguizamo? I was glad to see he won a special Tony.
Yeah, he's always funny. I like John Leguizamo quite a bit. He's a very popular guy around Broadway, and he was funny on the show, so...
Okay.
But it was a good show. The numbers were up. The ratings were down last year when Kevin Spacey, remember him, hosted the show. The ratings hit an all-time low, I think. But they bounced back up this year with Josh Groban and Sarah Bareilles.
And they gave you some song, dance-ish numbers, right? Were you happy with them?
Yeah, I mean, I'm not exactly going to cast Josh Groban in Jerome Robbins Broadway anytime soon.
That's not his thing.
That's not his thing. No, but they sang well, and they were classy hosts. Uh-huh.
Okay.
That's what I thought. So.
All right.
Yeah.
So you were able to go see a show that you think all of us should get to this summer, correct?
Yes, the new theater season begins right after the Tony Awards, and the first show of our new Broadway season is The Boys in the Band, which is a very interesting play historically because it was the first play to portray homosexuals openly.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they weren't sort of like in the closet, or they weren't characters that are really gay but couldn't be openly gay on Broadway. This was an off-Broadway play from 1968. Great cast. Jim Parsons and Zach Quinto, Matt Bomer. Oh, and Andrew Rannells.
Yeah, I love him.
Yeah. And they play, it's a set one night in an apartment in Greenwich Village, and these gay guys get together, and it's pretty bitchy. And the lines are hilarious and funny. And it's been given a very good production. And interestingly enough, all of the actors in this play are all openly gay themselves.
Did they update the time frame? No.
No. It is an artifact. It's from another time, but that's okay. You know, we don't update the great operas. You know, Puccini is set in the time that he wrote it. You can play around with the staging and whatnot, but you don't change the music or anything. So it's an artifact of a certain time, but it's an important play in the history of the American theater, and it's been given a first-class production.
Yeah, I'm just hearing rave reviews about this as well. Anything else we should look out for this summer?
Well, I'm always looking for the next band's visit, if you will, the next big musical.
Yes.
Keep your eye, don't know a lot about it yet, but keep your eye on a show called Hadestown that among all the insider Broadway people is generating a lot of buzz and could be an early favorite for Tony Award glory next year.
All right. Sounds good. Michael Riedel, thank you.
That's the tip from In the Wings.
I like this. Yeah.
All right, now we're stagehands. Time for us to go play time for us to go play cards.
I know. Okay. Michael, it's great to talk with you again, and we'll get together for another podcast for In the Wings.
Anytime, Christine. Mm-hmm.